Who knows what the hope of the world is? The hope of the world is Jesus. The hope of the world is the revelation of God. And then guess what's been put in you and me? Christ, the hope of the world. Wow! We heard last week that you're not a true Israelite. You're not a true Jew because of outward things done, because of crossing T's and dotting I's or religiosity or any of those things. But we heard out of Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, that you're a true Christian or a true child of God because you have the Spirit of God in you and you allow the Spirit of God to circumcise your heart, to circumcise things out of your life, you might say. And then in another place, I'm just going to paraphrase Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. I'm paraphrasing. Paul said, really nothing else matters but this new creation. That you're a brand new creation in Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For months, God has been saying, turn away from everything else and focus on me. That the deepest thing in you is that you desire God and that nothing else really matters. That's the first commandment. Don't put anything before me, says the Lord. Put me first. Desire me first. Seek me first. And for months we've been hearing that. For instance, out of Psalm 73, verse 25b, the earth has nothing I desire besides you. This is your new creation in Christ. This is your deepest heart's desire. God, I need you. And Jesus said, ask the Father for His good Spirit. He'll give you His good Spirit. We can receive salvation from hell through faith. This is the gift of God. And when we do that, that's evidence that God's Spirit is working in you. After we're born again, that is, we've believed the truth and come into the peace of God through Christ, we can still say, I need you. We can still say that. And receive you, Lord. I desire you. I'm seeking you. And He promises, if you seek me, I will be found by you. And then there's another passage I really like where He says, if you seek me, I will prosper you. And that's been useful to me over the years. All those many times I've sought the Lord and felt like, oh, I sought you, but I didn't find you. I sought you, but I did not perceive your answer whatsoever. And so He assures, son, you just seek me. When you're doing that, you're sowing to please the Holy Spirit. And from me, you will reap something good. Amen? Y'all get that? And then here, so, you know, for months and months, it was the earth has fallen apart because the children of God are being so shallow. And the creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed so that the earth can be liberated from its bondage to decay. We're the solution through Christ. Christ is the solution. We've become one with God, the Bible says. We've been united with God. Inside of you, you're united with God. Without any division, without any corruption, you've become one with God. And folks, the rest of our Christian lives, we're learning to live from that place and get everything else out of the way. Paul said, nothing else really matters but this new creation, which is in Christ. You, in Christ. Everything else is clutter. Everything else is distraction. And so we welcome the Holy Spirit. Come and circumcise whatever you want, Holy Spirit. And I've discovered, guys, you know, over the years, this wonderful way of living where you go to be with God. You're going to your prayer closet. You have your Bible. You're meeting with God in that place where you're one with God by faith in Jesus. And God is revealing Himself to you. Not only is He revealing Himself to you, He's revealing the new creation to you. I remember when I first came to God, you know, I was fresh out of the poop and He just began addressing me. You're a man of God. You're a saint. You are my bride. You know, we're on this journey of discovering our new creation, our new identity. And we want, and then as I began, you know, fellowshipping with God, He began showing me a whole new earth. Look, the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. Isn't the earth shiny? Live out of the new creation. Nothing else really matters. the new creation in me, what He's done with the earth. He began giving me flashes, I mean, pretty much unspeakable flashes of His plans for my life. I dare not even speak them. They're so outrageous, you know. Live out of the new creation. Do you know you're a saint? Do you know the price that was paid for God to call you holy? Live out of that, Paul said. Nothing else really matters. And back in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, if you'll do this, you'll actually receive praise from God while you're in the earth. Revealing that it's God's will to praise you. To give you praise in the earth. And in Isaiah chapter 60 and Isaiah chapter 62, God says, and I'm not quitting. I will not rest until you're a praise in the earth. Until you are the praise of the earth. This is powerful, man, because you're becoming, by the Spirit of God, you're becoming the chaste bride.
Amen. Yeah.
Disciplined bride. And I believe God loves everyone equally. But to those that allow themselves to become chaste, those that will cooperate with the Holy Spirit, I believe God loves everyone equally, but some mean more to Him than others. Does that make sense? Here's a better way to put it. Some are more useful to Him than others. And you can see right there in the New Testament, God says, if I can paraphrase, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 3, boy, you've been tested. Boy, I see you got no strength whatsoever. I see how you've even been tormented by those who say they're in the church. And God says, now I will make them bow down to you. I'll make them bow down to you. And this is because you've determined to let the Holy Spirit have His way with you. You've determined to become the chaste bride of Christ. And you're fulfilling your destiny. You're coming into a place, church, where you are meant to speak to mountains and see them move. If you curse a fig tree, it will die. No wonder He's telling us, be careful with your tongue. It's living out of the new creation. He wants deep work in each of us. Not shallow stuff, not instant fixes. Instant fixes are great. Instant answered prayers are great. I love those. And as He's had me relay recently, there are some works in each of us that can only be obtained through being in a furnace for a while. To bring what out? The new creation. To burn away the chaff and bring out the new creation, the solution to the world's problems. Christ in you! Wow! You have the answer. I have the answer. Jesus is the answer. We all say that in churchianity. But will you say it in the furnace? Will you say it in the flames? Will you say it if you're like an olive and you're put into the olive press and you're squished, squished, squished? Because it's designed, God's design is that when these testings go on, Christ comes out of you. Anointing, God's Spirit comes out of you. That's God's power which subdues all things before the Savior. And when I say all things, I mean North Korea. When I say all things, I mean, you know, that neighbor that tormented you. When I say all things, I mean all things. Hallelujah. Subdued by the power of God through your living sacrifice, for you being willing to live out of the new creation. God has made me holy. God has made me beautiful. God has made me pure. God has made me innocent. And because of the cross of Christ, because how much it means to me, I will pay no mind or attention to anything else. I will live from that place. Are you hearing me? Of course it's going to be challenged. There may be a challenge or two. For instance, last week, I believe it was on Monday, I heard so clear from the Lord. Here we are today, Sunday, Monday. It might have been the Monday before. I heard so clear from the Lord. I give you victory everywhere. What a good Monday morning that was. I was like, all right, I take it. And I'm imagining all the different areas of my life. I take victory from God. Yes, I have that. Thank you, Lord. Well, the next morning, Tuesday morning, I woke up seeing a demon come and stab me 3 times. I'm like, what in the world? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And that week, I had a really hard week. I mean, really hard. And it turns out there were actually 3 things that happened in the circumstances of my week that week that were like me being stabbed. Have you been stabbed lately? Doesn't feel good. And I probably pretty much forgot about my Monday morning glory. But as the week unfolded and Saturday came, look, I was just fine. And then the Lord reminded me, I told you I'd give you victory everywhere. So I'm sharing with you, you know, how we've been living for years. When God tells us something, live out of that. I'm sure I rebuked the devil and all that other stuff. God expected me to stand firm, do not waver. And I can always say I've come through by the grace of God. I'm alive and well. Hallelujah. And God promises, I will trouble those who trouble you. There might be some things in your character that have to be burned away. And the only way to bring Christ out of you is through a furnace. Says the guy who's lived at the home of the blizzard for 8 years now. Who's a people person. I'm a people person. I like people. So in a sense, the isolation of the home of the blizzard has been like a furnace. God's paradoxes in everything. But it's also a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And He's the source of all that is good and all that is sweet. In Psalm 105, verse 19, the Bible says that Joseph knew God had spoken to him. And it says in one version, God's word, well, in the versions you all probably have here, it says the word tested Joseph, or the word proved. Here we go with the furnace again. Joseph. Until the word came to pass. Another version says the word purged Joseph's character until it came to pass. Have you all signed up for this? Listen, if you have said, Christ is my Savior, I'm telling you, you've all signed up for this. The Word is good. The Word is true. The Word is valid. The earth has nothing I desire besides you, Lord. We might get a hold of that mentally in a shallow place. God desires that we would live from deep within that place. And it might take a furnace to bring you there. I don't know. I don't know where you all are, you know, individually in the Lord. But I can speak as a witness. It's not impossible. All things are possible with God. He is good and He is worthy. Hallelujah. So, now I want you to think about the wonders and the marvels that God has done to make you a brand new creation. I want you to live from that place and that place alone, not being controlled or governed by anything except that. That place where you're united with God. Understand that as you're fellowshipping with God, He will show you promises. He will give you promises. Wonderful, amazing things that might even be hard to believe. He'll tell you impossible things. And this is how He glorifies His name. If He's not doing the impossible in my life and in your life, then we're probably not worshiping the Lord, the truth. Because He's into doing the impossible. And we're living for Him to be made manifest. We're living for Him to be glorified. And so I'm saying that He will show you your new identity. He will begin telling you all these wonderful things that are His plans for you. I need you to hear me in this. He'll tell you these things He's going to do for you, these wonderful plans, and He expects you to live from that place. The only thing that matters is the new creation. Can you see that? It's done. It's finished. The things He said to me, the fruit, if you will, it's done. It's finished. Live from that place in your heart without wavering. Amen? It's done. It's finished. You don't have to beg God. Oh, God, please this. Oh, God, please that. You might want to spend some time praising Him and thanking Him for what He said. Amen. Live from that place. Understanding your character is being purged of doubt, of unbelief, of worry, of selfish desires. Well, I want it now. Well, good for you for wanting it now. But the deepest thing in you is you want God and nothing else matters. Not even the now matters. Amen. That's circumcision of the heart. I want God to revive America. I want God to give me what He promised. I want God to heal so-and-so. I want God to deal with it. Just let the circumcision of the heart be, I want God. Amen. Everything else will work itself out fine. Live from that place. It's all true what He said. It's all, in a sense, done. But it turns out, folks, a lot of the times, the hang-up, the quote, delay, is because of the garbage in you and me. If we were just like Christ, and we are, a veil that's torn so the heavens are open and the glory of God falls into the earth. And by the way, His glory is an all-consuming fire, leaving nothing but Christ, nothing but perfection. Things could go a lot quicker. Isn't that interesting that God's given you a promise and it turns out the reason it's not here yet is because you're the hang-up. Got some purging to do, some chaff to burn away. Live from "it is done." Live from "hallelujah, thank you, my kind God." And then we've also heard in recent weeks that if you make more of the promise than the giver, you're in idolatry. And this is a normal process for all of us to do just that. God said He's going to this. Yay! I'm so excited. This is going to make my life so much better. 3 years later, you're like, "Oh, Lord, don't You care? Oh, Lord." I'm speaking as a witness. "Where is what You promised?" That's when He told me, "Let it go." I'm not saying no. I'm saying you don't need that. You need Me.
Amen.
And I'm saying yes. Okay, God told me that like 12 years ago on a certain thing that's still on its way. I have peace. I believe it's on its way. My God's doing the impossible.
Amen.
So when He comes along and says, "You know, the deepest thing in you is, the character I'm bringing out of you is, the earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord." We have to guard our heart that we're not united with idolatry. He wants to trim away the things. Not saying no. He's just saying there's a way, with a capital W. Jesus is the way. And God has given us this as a gift, folks, this ability to serve Him with singleness of heart and action. Not duplicity. Not double-minded. He doesn't care for double-mindedness. His Word says He hates it. So, as our character is being purged, we're learning what one version calls the unforced rhythms of God's grace. There's a time to hold on, a time to believe, a time to push, and there's a time to let go to bring about what God has promised. As our character is being purged, we're learning the unforced rhythms of God's grace. Keeping in step and in harmony with Him. Okay? Moving along. Last week we heard out of Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that in your promised land, God will leave opposition to teach you war. Let's look at that passage again. Judges chapter 3. Because together we're opposing shallow Christianity. Oh God, come and fix everything right now for me. I want You to get a hold of He has.
Amen.
He determined to favor you before you were born.
Yes.
If you believe the cross, you began submitting to the truth. He did that before you were born.
Amen.
The Bible teaches that His kindness has provided you everything you need for life and for godliness. It's all been, the word is consecrated. It's all been set apart for you to enjoy. But you can't have it unless you consecrate yourself. You consecrate yourself to God and you find, wow, You had all this other stuff set aside for me, says the missionary. God has all sorts of goodies set aside for you. Have you set yourself aside for Him? I'm consecrating myself from my own desires. I'm separating myself and severing myself from those offenses and those wounds. I'm given to God. He paid for me with His own blood. And this passage says, these are the nations the Lord left to test all Israelites. And that's referring to the previous passage where God left enemies in the promised land. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. These are the nations the Lord left to test. Can we say to try? Can we say to purge? All those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. Now get this word picture with me, folks. Again, the only thing that matters is the new creation. God has made you a saint. God has made you a man of God. God has made you a woman of God. He's made you the daughter of Zion. He's made you the bride of Christ. He set you, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, on Mount Zion already. You don't wait until you die and leave the earth to get to Mount Zion. It's all been put in you and is designed to flow through you. by God's Spirit, turning the wilderness into an Eden. Now, if He did that instantly, well, I don't know how, you know, we would be done. This passage says He sets you in the promised land. Have you been set in the promised land?
Amen.
Every single one of you have better have been set in the promised land already, because it's an inward thing. God said He loved me. There's your promised land. God loves you. The proof is the blood. God, and then in my own personal life, He told me He would this. He said He would that. I got a big promised land, man. Full of a lot of details. He's already set you in the promised land. This passage says, and He's left some opposition to train you with war. We heard about that last week. You know, demonic activity and all of that. I was drawing upon a testimony of my own. And I was seeing it in other people's lives too. This says, you know, He's leaving some opposition to train you for war. And that's a good thing, because when you've learned war, you get the exhilaration of kicking the snot out of the devil and the joy and the pleasure and the honor of teaching others war. And this week I want us to look at this passage as sort of like us looking in the mirror, that the problem and the hang-up is the old nature. It says He left all these other nations to test, to purge, to try Israel. And the Bible says in the New Testament, as we'll see, you're warring against your own soul. If you could look at the old nature as your opposition, again, doubt, worry, unbelief, pride, selfish desires, I want, that's your enemy. Unless the only answer is God. Only one thing goes after I want. God. If you've got a longer list of what you want, that's your enemy. And it's interesting because some of those things, God's trying to get to you. But because you won't release it to Him, to let Him form it and reform it and return it to you, you're refusing to worship God. You're holding on to it yourself. Don't do that. You're living from the innermost place, Canaan, the promised land. Big, giant grapes. Y'all know the testimony. You know, the fruit is so magnificent. Supernatural, amazing fruit. God wants you to live. Now, you want some joy of the Lord? Believe Him and you'll start getting happy. Live from this new... Nothing, Paul said nothing else really matters. Live from this new creation. And as you do, it will be. It will come. This way we can get out of God's way. And I love this. I looked it up this morning. Everybody knows Canaan means promised land. But I just needed to see it in Hebrew before I come and talk to you. So I looked in the original text. And actually the definition of Canaan, what we all know to be the promised land, is to bend the knee. Interesting if you think about someone that, let's say, they have cancer. And God has said, I've come to heal you. If they accept that, God has come to heal me. Cancer must bend its knee. Oh yeah, Scripture teaches every title, every name, everything must bow the knee to Jesus. Your promised land is a place where everything is submitted to God. Where every knee must bow. Hallelujah. To bow the knee. And many times the problem is right there in the mirror. That's what's holding back the promised land from being seen by all your friends and family. You. This is why we welcome the Holy Spirit to circumcise our hearts. Trim away the doubt. Trim away the worry. Trim away the I want yada, yada, yada. No, just let it be I want you, God. And He promised if we seek Him, we will find Him. Are you hearing me? This is kind of a deep lesson, but this is Jesus ninja stuff. This is Christian Jedi stuff. And I need you there. I need everybody there. Because the world's going to a mess. Hell in a handbasket. While Christians are saying, God, serve me up this. God, do this for me. God, fix that. I want that or I can't be satisfied. And I'm explaining to you here today, ninja Christianity, man. You can be a Jedi for Jesus. Put the blindfold on. You got your lightsaber. Whack! Hit that devil right in the head. God is amazing. He's so good. He's so good. He loves us. His attention is on you. You've become the target of His mercy. Out of His whole universe and so much busyness going on. But because in His infinite ways, He's able to just sweep it all away and say, I am focused on You. This is amazing. You are my project. And I'm not turning away from my favorite project until I'm finished. So Canaan means promised land. A land where every knee is bowed to Jesus. Let's let that start with you and me. And in fact, this is how you facilitate or bring it about. You have the promised land. You have it all. If you don't have any unbelief, if you don't have any doubt, if you don't have any worry, if you don't have any selfish desires, you're going to be really glad because your knee is bowed to the truth. And the Bible says, those who bow down to the truth will be lifted by the truth. So you can imagine then you have your promised land and God has allowed some opposition, these character traits in you that need to be dealt with. I need you to understand, check this out. The old nature character traits are doors for Satan to enter your promised land and destroy it. The old nature character traits are the devil's way in. You can already be delivered into your promised land and you're living from that place and that's great and glorious. And if you give in to your old nature and submit, bow the knee to the old nature, if you're not careful, that very one time even can be the time a demon enters into to destroy, to steal. We should not waver. We should not doubt. When I had that testing 2 weeks ago, you know, God told me He gave me victory. I should have stayed happy. I know when I saw the devil come and stab me like that, I was rebuking the devil and all this and that. But there's purging to be done. There's testing to be done. God allows the enemy. Well, now, Robert, if you go through pain this week, are you going to stick with me? Are you going to stay yielded to the truth? And I really believe only God knows the answer. I'm glad to be here today. I know I told you guys last week, I'm only here standing before you by the grace of God. I meant that deep down. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the minimum standard. Perfection. Jesus is the standard. But that standard's been put in us. And we're supposed to be living out of this new creation. And you'll do that by being united with God, through your communion with God. If you don't let the Holy Spirit circumcise your heart, those old nature habits even, folks, old nature traits, open the way, like an open door, for the devil to come in. Here you are, God's object of mercy, God's favorite piece of artwork. Don't you think there's some supernatural forces that want to mar that artwork? Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at some doors, some gates. Many of us would say, you know, I despise that old nature stuff. But you get drawn near to God and get in His presence, He'll show you otherwise. He told the people, as I hope to look in here in a little bit, in James chapter 4, you adulterous people. And God has shown me His children sleeping with the enemy, the old self. Sleeping with... What do you think is going to happen if you're hopping in the sack with doubt? You're going to give birth to something very ugly, even death. If you hop in the sack with your old self, I want, I want, I want. You're going to give birth to something unholy. There's no way around it. I'm talking about being intimate with, abiding with. Is it united with the Lord and living from there? No, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to circumcise those other things, to cut them away for once and for all. And that is God's desire, to cut them away once and for all, that you be troubled by them no more. Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is where Cain killed Abel. We're not going to go through the whole passage. I'm already going longer than I intended, and I got a lot of ground to cover. So I'm going to try to be brief. In verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, your gate, and it desires to have you, but you must master it. Okay, here, Cain is upset, he's mad, he's angry, he doesn't like Abel, he's bitter, he's jealous. And God appears to Cain right there in his little hissy fit and says, "Hey, Cain, sin is nearby and it's looking to have you, to control you, but you must master it." Well, how did that go? It didn't go well. The door was opened through Cain. The gate was opened and hell's desire came and visited Abel. Abel was murdered through the willingness of Cain, who bowed his knee to sin. He was mastered by sin in that incident. Do you see how serious this is, folks? Heaven wants to fill the earth through you. You're a gate, a door. Well, so does hell want to fill the earth through you and me. There's good news. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Here in Genesis chapter 22, some testing went on. We all know Abraham waited a long time for the promise of God. He waited so long he even wandered into some unholy stuff and gave birth to some stuff that we're still dealing with today. But praise be to God, Abraham finally got the promise, Isaac. Like you have gotten the promise from God, whether it be in the natural or not, you've gotten promises from God. And here in this time of testing, here in this time of purging the character, Abraham was called to sacrifice the promise, the very thing God had given him. Will you sacrifice the promise? Or does it mean more to you than the giver? Because we're called to give up everything, Jesus said. If you don't give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. Now, it's interesting because in Hebrews, it says that Abraham knew that even if he killed the promise, Isaac, God could raise the promise from the dead. And this is something you all have to work out with fear and trembling yourself. But Abraham was willing to do it. And he actually raised the knife up to kill that promise. You know? He was doing it, what God told him to do. Will you? And Abraham passed the test for us. And here in verse 17, an angel or the angel of the Lord appears and says, "I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the gates of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." That's powerful. Here, the promise of God, the blessing of God is your descendants will take possession of the gates of the enemies. We saw it didn't go so well with Cain and Abel, that the enemy took possession of Cain's door, Cain's gate. And the enemy came through killing Abel. And here, Abraham passed the test. Abraham received the blessing. And in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says that Jesus became the curse. Jesus took the penalty of our sin so the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. We are Abraham's descendants through Christ, and those we minister to as well can become our spiritual descendants through us, you know, following Christ and ministering to others. My point is the promise is from God, "I'll give you victory at the gate." So that murder doesn't have to come in. So that you don't have to let the devil in to steal, kill, and destroy. Isaiah chapter 28. You're living from the new creation now. You're living from the promised land, folks. Jesus is your paradise. Jesus is your Eden. The Bible says that God's seal of approval rests upon Jesus. If Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus, God's seal of approval rests upon you. You are God's delight. There's no reason for God to withhold anything from you. You're His delight. He loves you. Live out of that place. And look out, because there is an enemy at the gate. The enemy wants to shut the gate of God's glory off and fill the earth with death and disaster. And that's what's been going on, even through shallow Christianity in America. But God has given us a promise that we can possess those gates and turn the enemy back. You see that here in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. In that day, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown. Are you wearing the Lord Almighty as a crown? Are you crowned with the presence of God? This says, in that day, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown, a beautiful wreath for the remnant of His people. He will be a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. So you're crowned, it says in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out and tongues of fire were seen resting upon the heads of the people. That was this. In that day, they were crowned with the presence of the Lord. And God has not stopped pouring out His Spirit since that day, the day of Pentecost. We are crowned with the presence of God. For what? This passage in Isaiah says, so you can discern good from evil, man. A spirit of discernment is upon you. A spirit of judgment, of justice. This is good. This is not good. This is one of the reasons God tells you, seek me. Because I'm eager to tell you, you're in a world of hurt. You're on the wrong path. There's danger all around. But if you're not seeking God and asking for His Spirit, give me wisdom, Lord, help me in this situation. You could walk around just as blind and dumb as Cain, having been told, hey, look out for the devil, he's come to destroy your life. But if you're not seeking the Lord and accepting, God has crowned me with His presence. He's delighted to be with me. And you're not hearing from God, it won't go well. So here it says, in that day, and then we have in the book of Acts, we see how they were crowned. When Susan was born again in 2003, one of her first supernatural encounters was seeing tongues of fire resting upon people's heads. And we didn't know that was in the book of Acts. We couldn't even told you if the book of Acts was Old Testament or New Testament. But she saw what she saw. And it turns out, it was the truth. Hallelujah. Receive that for yourself. You're crowned with the presence of the Lord, with discernment, a spirit of being able to tell good from evil. And this is what makes Christians accountable. Like Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in church. They had the Spirit of God and they tested the Spirit of God. They knew what the difference was between right and wrong. And they shunned what was good. They were filled to overflow with what was evil and it killed them. Christians are accountable. And the quote, reward is a just reward. If you've been letting in good or letting in bad. You're the gate. It's your choice. God is with you, trying to persuade you. In Matthew 16, 18, here you are crowned with the presence of the Lord. We're bringing the gates into the New Testament, into today's time. Famous passage, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The rock he's referring to is when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is an immovable truth. You are Jesus. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Rescuer. You are the Son of the living God. This is in your innermost place, this knowing this, this understanding this, that Jesus is greater than your greatest obstacle. Jesus is infinitely greater than the biggest mountain in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, on this rock of truth that I am the Son of God, the Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You're crowned with the presence of God. You're crowned with God's love. Even the Spirit of Jesus. And He's come to build you up. Now, there might be some stuff. If you're not going to work with God, if you're not going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, there might be some tearing down He will do. Some stripping He will do. There might be some overthrowing He will do in your life. Because He loves you. And He's promised to salt everyone with fire. Salt is a covenant of keeping and preserving. How? With fire. To burn away the chaff. He's bringing out the character of Christ. He's building you up. He's loving you. So the gates of hell will not prevail. And again, if we're letting in the old nature, if we're bending our knee to the old nature and we're letting evil in, correction must come. It's not right to let that keep going. And God has said recently, even in last week's message, oh, I will. I'll put a hurting on those that refuse to be circumcised in their hearts. That's not God's first choice. His first choice is that people will be circumcised in their hearts, that they'll not resist the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. He's here to build you in Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, the stuff I'm sharing with you guys is so rich and glorious, folks, that you've been united with God. And in that place where you're united with God, you're one with God, there's no corruption whatsoever because He doesn't hang out with funk. He is the deepest thing in you. You are in Him. He is in you. He's dealt with anything that would hinder your fellowship with Him. He's washed it away. And then He expects you to live from that place. To go to Him in His Word. To pray. To seek Him. He may give you dreams. He may give you insights. He may give you visions. I don't know how He's going to talk to you, but He's going to commune with you. He's going to talk to you. And He expects you and I to live from that place. And when opposition arises, He expects us to deal with the opposition. And I'm saying oftentimes the opposition is inward, holding you back from the very things He's promised you, the very things you want from Him. You see that here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, okay, so you're not of the world, you're not for the world, and in this context, strangers of the world, strangers in the world would represent those opposing God. Live as aliens and strangers in the world. And He says, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. The deepest thing in you is your spirit person, that's united with God. The next thing in you, the next shallow thing, is your soul, your mind, how you think, your will, what you want, and your emotions, how you feel. So you got this picture. Your spirit, your core, is united with God without any contamination. And then there's something more shallow, your soul. Your spirit's so eager to burst through that soul and lead you in life, yielded to Christ. That's where your promised land is and everything. And it wants to come out, you know. Then you have your soul, in a sense, kind of covering your spirit person. Your mind, how you think. Your will, what you want. Your emotions, how you feel. Then there's something else outside of your soul. And that's your body. Your flesh and bones. Now, when I have something in my body hurting physically, it wants to be in control. It wants to say, the final answer is you're hurting. But the deepest thing in me is by His stripes I was healed. He took away all my iniquities, which are deep crooked things. He took away all my infirmities, which are sicknesses. Now what's going to govern? What's going to govern your life? The fleshly, the outer thing? The soul, what you want, what you think, how you feel? Or are you going to let the Spirit, the deepest thing in you, lead the way? Because God's desire is for us to live out of that place that's united with Him. Every area of your life, your promised land. I gave the example of someone with cancer. Well, cancer too has to yield. Susan and I prayed for a lady that was going to have brain surgery because she had a brain tumor. We prayed for her. We told that tumor to go away. She went to the doctor one last time for the MRI within just a few days of us praying for her. Okay, we're going to do the surgery now, today. Let's take one more peek at what we're getting after. Oh, it's gone. From the innermost place. That's what's supposed to dictate your life and mine. Everything must bow to what's inside of you. Christ. So you're subduing that old fleshly nature. You will not govern me. So you're hungry. Shut up. I can feed on Jesus and be satisfied and hunger no more.
Amen.
And then if you spend time in God's Word, that's going to help your mind. That's going to help you how to think. If you spend time in God's Word, it's going to help your will. This is what God wants for you. How God wants you to live. And it's going to help how you feel. When you yield to the truth, you feel better. And so what's going on is God is training us to live from that innermost place. And to let, and nothing else really matters except the new creation. I'm living from within the new creation. I'm living out the new creation. I'm living out of the new creation. And this passage says, look out! Abstain from that old nature stuff. It's warring against your soul. Live as aliens and strangers in the world. Abstain from sinful desires. That old nature stuff, it's warring against your soul. Let's go to James chapter 4. You guys love God and you want God, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Even the people listening on the internet, you love God and you want God, or you wouldn't be listening. God's promised you all sorts of wondrous things, and He's trying to get you there very quickly. But it turns out the hang-up is in the mirror. It's that old fleshly nature. It's that old unrenewed soul that wants to shut the gate of heaven. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says Jesus conquered death and sin for us. And that you were baptized into His death, and sin and the old nature has been done away with. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead with Jesus by God's Spirit. So you got the victory. We have the victory. Christ has mastered sin for us. And then it becomes our choice. Will you yield to how you feel? Will you yield to that old nature? Or will you bend the knee to the King of Kings? Because your promised land ain't coming without you bending your knee to the King of Kings.
Yeah.
He is not your magic lamp that you rub so you can have it your way.
Yeah.
He is worthy to be bowed down to.
Amen.
He's worthy to be your chiefest desire. He's worthy to be your chiefest pursuit. He's worthy for you to say from your innermost place, it's true, nothing else matters. Thank you. You are so good to me. Your love doesn't fail me. Your mercy endures forever. You are good to me, God. Nothing else matters. This will expedite the manifestation of your Canaan. Instead of asking and asking and asking, won't you give me what you promised? You said you would this. Won't you this? Why won't you that? What's going on here? What about that? No. That's all shallow stuff. You're living from the united place with God, the one with God. You are God. You are on your throne. You are in charge. James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? We just heard in 1 Peter chapter 2, the old nature wars against your soul. Here he says, you don't have what you want because of the battle going on. And he says this after chapter 3. He really puts like your selfish desires are very, very wicked. Selfish desires, your own agenda. No wonder Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of men in mind. So in James chapter 3, it ends talking about just how wicked your personal desires are. And I'm not calling you wicked, but we're winnowing. We're separating shallow from deep.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, God and God alone is good. No one is good except God only. And I tell you then, only God's will is good.
Yeah.
We're turning away from what we want. Even telling God what He ought to do. Lord, we want You to fill up this building, but quit. That's fine, sounds holy, and all of that, but why don't we let that be circumcised too? God, we want You.
Amen.
We want You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you're hearing in Scripture today that a lot of times the hang-up is the stuff going on inside of you. Bend the knee to Jesus, and your promised land will be seen by others. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet. Now that kill means you think harshly of someone else. You hate someone else. Jesus said, if you ever do that, then that's the same thing as murder. What are you doing? Knock it off. You covet. In other words, you're jealous or you want what they have. But you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you don't ask. Verse 3, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Are you hearing that, folks? I heard a powerful principle this week. Intent governs the outcome. And you see that here. People asking for God to give them this, that, and the other, and they're not getting it, the Scripture says, because if I gave it to you, you'd spend it on yourself. God's looking for us to spend everything we are and all that we got for Him and His glory. And I've discovered over the years that is not a selfish thing of God. He's just trying to manage His own stuff in the best way possible. And if you say, I will spend all that I got and all that You ever give me on You and Your glory, Lord, you will find He will send you on vacations and all kinds of really neat stuff. He's got good plans for you. This says you don't get it because if I gave it to you, you'd spend it on your own lust. In other words, you'd forget all about Me. Miss Pastor put it this way this week. He's not going to give you an idol. If He's promised you something good and you've made that an idol, you're not getting it because it's an idol. You've made the promise more important than the giver. He's not going to do that. He's not going to give you that, quote, heart's desire if you're going to be worshiping that thing instead of Him. So again, the hang-up being things in you and me. No wonder we're saying, come Holy Spirit and circumcise the trash away from me. Because the truth is, even the promise, the good thing He promised you is trash compared to Him. Amen. Nothing matters but Him. Amen. Are you guys hearing me? Please be doing these things. Please accept God's Spirit. Please practice this stuff. Because if you'll do what I'm saying, you're going to manifest Canaan, a land that's bowed to Jesus with all sorts of magnificent fruit. It says, you don't get what you want because you would spend it on your own pleasures. And then look at this in verse 4. You adulterous people. You say you love Me and you're faithful to Me, but you're sleeping with the enemy. Your own desires. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Now that friendship with the world, again, is the same as in 1 Peter chapter 2. That has to do with a place that doesn't really care for God all that much. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, right? That we could be saved. That's a different context. Here it's talking about a way of life that really wants God to serve it instead of it serving God. That's really to sum it up. And it goes on, anyone who chooses to be a friend with that culture, a friend of the world, has made themselves an enemy of God. And check this out. Or do you not think, Scripture says without reason, that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely. Check it out now. Check it out. The Spirit He's caused to live inside of you is a jealous, jealous Spirit. Jealous because He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. God's jealousy for us is good. I don't want to see you wallowing in poop. That's very nasty. And because He's jealous, He wants to keep you clean. He'll tell you, don't wallow in poop. This jealous God, and He's made it so plain to me over the years. I don't know if I'm gifted in this or not, but I mean, I remember when I first came to know the Lord, one of my mentors said, man, God keeps you on a tight leash. God has shown me this jealousy. No wonder in this passage He says, you adulterous people. In other words, He's saying, you whores. What are you doing sleeping with the enemy? Doubt, worry, your selfish desires. That gives birth to terrible things. He's jealous. He wants us all to Himself. And in man's thinking, jealousy is kind of crazy. But in God's economy, it's for your own good. It's for His glory. And so over the years, as God has given me the grace that He would show me somewhere where I'm in adultery, and if you look at my life, you would never guess I was in adultery, and I haven't been physically in adultery. But if I'm fellowshipping with what I want, when I want it, if I'm fellowshipping with that, it's going to give birth, if it's not perfectly synced up with God, it's going to give birth to a discouragement. Well, how did you get discouraged? Well, I hopped in the sack with my own selfish desires. And I loved my own selfish desires. We had such a good time together. And look what came out of it. Misery. He's a good God. I hope you guys are hearing me. Spend some time in these passages. Because He wants to trim away all that other stuff, and we fellowship with Him and we give birth to love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're united with God and we bear the fruit. The evidence is apparent. Amen? This is the evidence of God's presence in your life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the character of God. And then you're also going to be manifesting the nature of God. You speak to something and it happens. You're fellowshipping, growing up with God. You're being led from the innermost place. That's worshiping God in spirit. Delivering to you treasures. Delivering to you treasures. Jedis. If somebody comes and listens to this, they listen on the internet and then just move on with their busy routine life. Look out, we're in the days of Noah. People were busy with routine in the days of Noah. Now, I don't see us being raptured any minute. I hope I'm wrong about that, but I think we're going to be around a while. This is treasure. Treat it like treasure. God's message. He's not going to give you something you've made an idol. Even the promise of God. If you've made it an idol, He's not going to give it to you. Not trying to beat you down. If you know that's you and God's got His finger on you right now, just admit it. I'm sorry, Lord, that I made something You promised me bigger than You. I repent. And I sacrifice it like Abraham did Isaac. I sacrifice it to You. I believe You'll raise it from the dead, but it's not going to control me anymore. I want You, God. You can do that, folks. Nothing's impossible with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Your victory is insured. Even if you've squandered things, mismanaged things, let Satan in, whatever, God is good. Through you and I turning away from those unholy things at the gate, turning towards Jesus, we have this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Amen. We are always led in victory in Christ Jesus. And my study Bible has a note. What was a triumphal procession? Reading these words, the Corinthians undoubtedly thought of a Roman victory celebration. Upon returning home, a victorious general was honored with a parade. He would march with his army through the streets, displaying the spoils and the captives of war. Paul may have meant that believers are Christ's army sharing in His victory. I believe that's true. And then they give another point. Or, and I believe this is true, he may have meant that we are Christ's captives, conquered by God's love and submitted to God's will. You see, Abraham obeyed God and something was given. And then Jesus came along and obeyed God perfectly because Abraham didn't. And that's what's been given to you and me. Perfect obedience in Jesus. You cling on to what you're united to deep, deep within, and you have perfect obedience and all the blessings that flow from there. This scripture says, as I've shared some maybe challenging things here today, if you've messed it up or whatever, don't worry about it. You go back to Jesus who always leads us in triumphal procession. And if I'm a part of His victorious army or I'm a conquered foe, I really don't care. Just let Jesus be at the head. Amen? And I am a conquered foe of God. I was once I made myself an enemy of God. And His love conquered me. His mercy conquered me. His kindness conquered me. And now I can boast His Spirit works mightily in me to bring me into subjection to my Savior, to my own salvation. Thank You, God. He's teaching us not to war within ourselves. Don't war within your soul. Bend the knee to King Jesus. Make your body submit to King Jesus. Make your soul what you think, what you want, how you feel. Bow to King Jesus. Hallelujah. And the earth is filled with His glory. Through you, solution of the world, Christ in you. He always leads us in victory, in a parade of victory. I'm going to turn back a couple of pages to the closing passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, I hope you guys have gotten this today. You started out hearing about victory to the uttermost. You heard what the rub was. Look in the mirror. And then you hear here at the end, the victory is guaranteed. He always leads you in victory. Here at verse 57, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged, folks. You're at the gate. And it's your simple choosing to turn to God and to bend the knee to Jesus. And you say, God, help me with that. And He will help you with that. Amen. And it is a labor. It is a battle. Yeah. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's some choosing you have to do. Some laboring you have to do. Some dying you have to do. Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. He wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about you fellowshipping with God. And there's nothing better in all the earth than you fellowshipping with God. It comes at the cost of you taking up your cross. It comes at the cost of you giving up everything you have. I'm talking about your heart and mind. To fellowship with God and then live from that place. This passage goes on. Well, it says, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's over sin, over death. It goes on in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully or wholly, every bit of who you are. Give yourself wholly over to the Lord, to the work of the Lord. He's working on you, I say. The passage goes on, because you know that, there it is, your labor in the Lord is not for nothing. It's not in vain. Your labor to get over yourself, your labor to kneel to King Jesus, to bend the knee, it's not in vain. No, check it out. Let me share with you. Because something glorious has been put inside of you. God has been put inside of you with many, many wonderful promises. And you want to see those promises come to fruition. And we've heard today how to do that. Abstain from evil desires. Turn away from that old nature. And this whole that I've described to you today, it's like giving birth to God's glory in the earth. You're providing evidence to others that Jesus is real. God gives you a word. You're intimate with that word. You become impregnated with that word. Or are you? Are you still in unbelief? Are you still in doubt? Because if so, you're not impregnated. But when you believe, when you accept the seed, hallelujah, of God's perfect Word, you've become impregnated with glory. And it's like the natural birthing process. Not that I've ever in the natural given birth, but I have a wife and four kids, so I've seen it more than once. It takes a little time. Major changes take place. You throw up. Sometimes a lot. Listen, that vomiting God has shown us before. We go to minister someone. We tell them all about how good God is. We come in contact with them 3 days later. They've been meditating on all sorts of unholy things and they come and spew out their crap on us. That's like vomiting on the servants of the Lord. Why? Because they were meditating on bad food. They weren't chewing on the good things of God. They were chewing on spoiled stuff and it makes them throw up. Well, when you get pregnant with the glory of God, you have this war going on. And it's perfectly normal in the germination and the growing process of God's glory for you to meditate on the wrong things, for you to war with your own soul. causing you to say things you really should not have ever said. And you've heard me here in recent weeks say, when you're not saying the Word of God, when you're saying something unholy, you are doing violence to the kingdom of heaven, which is perfectly innocent. That is so deep and serious. Do you want to do violence to what's bringing you your blessing? Then don't say unholy things ever. Well, Pastor, that sounds impossible. It's not impossible. You can come to a place where even when you're squeezed, God comes out. In the most difficult trials, Christ comes out of you, the Word of God. And then you're doing violence to the kingdom of darkness and exciting the holy angels that look into these things. So if you can imagine the birthing process, you know, and God's trying to help you through the birthing process. He's holding your hand through the birthing process. Even in Revelation there, Satan came to abort the baby. This is serious. If you're pregnant with the glory of God, if you've been intimate with God and accepted the good things He's promised you, there is some waiting to be done. Some throwing up is normal, but I'm saying, come on, man, grow through that. The morning sickness is only in the morning. You should be over by the afternoon. No. Right, it's only a brief season. As the swelling of God's glory becomes more evident in your heart, that sickness and that throwing up has got to stop. And then comes probably nobody's favorite. The actual giving birth is very intense. Right? If you've all seen it before, I've seen it, you know, up close and personal, about freak me out. But there's a time to push, push, push. Believe. Don't doubt. And then there's a time to let it go. Now look, how many shallow Christians, when God tells them to let the promise go, do they freak out and say, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. If I let it go, it won't happen. No, it's like the birthing process. You can let it go. Just shut up and breathe. Rest. Relax. In just a little while, I'm going to have you hold on with all you got and push again. For a manner of time. I don't know what the season could be. 3 days? 3 years? I don't know. And then you would think, bam, the baby comes out. Maybe. Maybe your labor, it depends on how big the glory to God is. Maybe your intense labor process of giving birth could take 10 years. Hold on. Push. Let go. Aren't you going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, or are you going to resist the Holy Spirit? No, let's be alert. Thank you for the alarm, Lord. It's intense, man. It is so shallow of Christians when God has said and promised and affirmed and confirmed and you've grown and the glory has grown in you and you've grown in the glory. And then now God is saying, now just let it go. I need you to rest and trust me. And I've heard it over and over and over, Christians refusing to do that. No, no. If I let it go, then I'm not in faith. If I'm not in faith, then... Now, wait a minute. Abraham believed if he killed the thing, God would raise it from the dead, the promise. So just trust God. Let it go. You're not living for that. You're living for God. This is so important. You're not focusing on that, this letting go. You're focusing on your coach, Jesus, who's trying to help you and even expedite you in this process. Because I believe God's in a hurry. And it's humans and the old nature that are slowing things down. Alright, is that a good word picture? Y'all understand that? There's a time to hold on, a time to believe with all you got, a time to push, push, push through. It could be very straining, could make you sweat a lot. And then there's a time to just let go. Just trust God. Breathe. Rest. This is glorious. And Jesus said, it might not be fun. It might be kind of like anguish and painful while everybody else is partying. But when this process is over, you won't even remember the pain because the glory is so awesome. And nobody will ever take your joy away. This is what you're giving birth to. The glory of God. So awesome that it makes you forget the pain and suffering. And no one can take your joy away again. Isn't that exciting? No matter what the heart's desires are, because He's promised that's what this is about. I'm trying to bring about your heart's desires and I need you to cooperate with me. Look up. Take your eyes off of everything else. Even the promise. And it's true. This stuff is so real, guys. It's so practical. I hope you hear me. This thing about doing violence to the kingdom of heaven. I know to a lot of shallow Christians, they don't quite understand that. Or maybe they think it in their head, but don't understand. Listen, when you let your mouth run loose, you're hurting your Savior. You're hurting the innocent angels. For real. When you let your mouth run loose, you're empowering the devil's gate. It's very real stuff. And also the giving birth analogy. And it's so amazing because it's about intimacy with God. He has come right now. His work is before Him. These are things you can't do. And He's eager to bring you the reward of your suffering. And as your heart matures in the truth, the reward is born. As your heart matures in the truth, as your character is purged, the fruit happens. It's all supernatural. It's all related. It's all intimately between you and God. It's marvelous. It's Jedi stuff, man. He's asking for you to cooperate with Him. Grow in your heart. Let your heart be purged. Mature in the truth. The testing and the purging is not forever. The things I'm describing to you, I've seen it happen in my own life, season by season by season. God gave us this victory, impregnated us with financial. Don't worry about anything ever. I'm always going to take care of you. We went through an intense birthing season, and then it came to birth. It came to be years ago, and we've been living in it ever since. I want that for everybody, man. It's a nice way to live. And then all kinds of other ways, too. So it's supernatural between you and God as you let your heart grow and mature and don't war against what's the deepest thing in you. You're maturing. And as soon as you're matured, because God is not delaying anything, you're in cooperation with the supernatural, with God. It's His work before Him. He brings it about to reward you, to bless you. And it's so personal and so intimate. You receive it from God. And you will not bow down and worship that thing, but you will worship the giver. Hallelujah.